Hello and welcome back to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to dive deep into the cinematic adaptations of Frank Herbert's Dune, specifically the 2021 Dylan Villeneuve. Hank Ferbert by Dylan Villeneuve. Oh, man. Okay, I'm going to do that over.
Nope.
No. Okay, no, I'll keep it. I'm one of your hosts, Zach.
And I'm John.
And as we stumble our way into these first minutes, or these 26th minute, I'm not on it today, man. I'm sorry. This minute begins with Jessica looking like she's having a lot of stomach issues, waiting outside in the hall. And it ends with what can only be described as a fart sound. No other way to describe that sound.
Is that our first fart joke?
If that's our first fart joke, we have not been doing this correct.
All right. Well,
I hope I equal parts hope it is and hope it isn't.
Sure. I mean, I can understand being disappointed with ourselves in taking
the low road.
Taking so long to get to a fart joke. No. I mean, yes, I would be disappointed in fucking taking the low road, but also just taking so fucking long to get to it. So,
well, we'll try not to overdo it.
Yeah.
So Jessica, back to what we were here to talk about.
Yes.
Jessica continues to stand outside the room looking just stressed as all hell. And it like seriously looks like she's having a full blown panic attack.
Straight up not having a good time.
Straight up not having a good time.
Still. Yeah. I've been saying that for the last however many episodes, ever since we saw her like panicking in the rain. I'm going to keep saying it because it's true. At this point she's like, she's so worked up and afraid that she's like shaking, which is mirroring Paul's shaking, but his shaking is more from the pain of the box.
Yeah.
And I think I can't tell if, because we've talked about how before, like the Bene Gesserit have this super empathetic ability to feel the pain of others.
I was just thinking that. Yeah. Like, I wonder if this is like a symbiotic kind of thing.
Yeah. Because she's grasping at her belly. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's just because she's like it's that like comforting thing that you do when you just kind of like,
yeah. Yeah.
Hug yourself and rock if you're like in a lot of pain or whatever.
AKA how I get to sleep every night.
Oh, that's sad. Or if it's just like, she actually does feel some of Paul's pain. I feel like a little bit of it is shared.
Sure.
In this case.
Yeah. I like to believe that.
And we'll get to why I believe that here in a second. But yeah, I was thinking about that when I was taking the notes. It was like, okay, she clearly is more than afraid now. So it would make sense that because of the Bene Gesserit's like innate, I guess, ability, if you want to call it, to like feel the emotions of others more like in tune than what standard empathy for regular people is.
Yeah. And then there's the whole mother son layer to this. So she's rightfully freaking out.
Are Paul and Jessica ogres?
Because they have layers?
Yeah, like onions.
Anyways, Paul,
fart jokes and Trek references in the same episode.
Best episode yet. So we cut back to Paul as he continues to grimace, and he's making a bunch of sounds, and the Moheim just goes silence. It's the only words she says during to him as he's going through all this.
Yep.
We get another shot of the Gom Jabbar. The music's getting intense in the background.
With her weird way of holding it.
Yep. Yeah.
Or as you call it, the chopstick way.
It is in the same neighborhood.
Mm. No, but.
More grunting, more panic is what my note says about these couple of seconds here. And then we cut back out to Jessica, and I wanted to spend a little bit of time talking about the next, like, what we hear and what we see.
Before we get to that.
Okay.
So, like, at this point, when we're looking at Paul, like, he's shaking more and more, but, like, he's got tears in his eyes at this point, and he's, like, you can see the vein in his forehead starting to, like, pop out and everything. I just want to say, like, in this case, shout outs to fucking Timothy Chalamet for, like, being able to portray that amount of intensity as quickly as he does over the course of this whole thing. And I had a note in here. It's like, do you think maybe, like, between, like, as they're filming, cut, you know, and, like, right before he says action, he just, like, has a pair of tweezers at his knees and just, like, grabs a nose hair or two and just, like, yoinks it out to, like, get in that headspace?
Maybe. I don't know how steeped he is in the method acting school. Maybe he is.
I don't think he's, like, a Daniel Day-Lewis when it comes to, you know, his method acting or whatever.
No one is.
No. Well, maybe Christian Bale. You could argue that he's very true. They're both pretty up there in terms of their, like, commitment to his bits.
His transition from, was it Memento to The Dark
Knight? Memento to Batman.
To Batman.
to then see him go to Dick Cheney.
Oh, that's right. I was wondering which one he gained a bunch of weight
from. Yeah, it was Dick Cheney.
Yeah.
Vice. Very good movie, by the way.
I've never seen it. I'll have to watch it.
It's fantastic.
Anyways, back to this minute, man. We got Jessica starting to talk about one of the most iconic lines from the Dune book, the Litany Against Fear.
Yes.
Would you like to recite it? I feel like you have it written down.
I do.
Okay. Yeah.
It's even italicized. We're getting fancy in the notes. I must not fear. Fear is the mind killer. Fear is the little death that brings obliteration. I will face my fear and I will permit it to pass over me and through me. And when it has gone past, I will turn the inner eye to see its path. Where fear has gone, there will be nothing. Only I will remain.
Bravo, bravo.
Fun thing about the Litany in the movie, there is no consistency between the book, the miniseries, the Lynch, and the Villeneuve movies in terms of what the actual litany is. I would assume
what you just read was the book.
No, there is a difference in the movie. The line, I will face my fear and I will permit it to pass over me and through me, is one sentence. In the book, it is, I will face my fear.
Oh,
I will permit it to pass over. Yeah. It's such a small thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just, sorry. that was the only, that was the thing, that was, like, the thing that I wanted to point out about the litany.
Yeah, I do have it written down that they're all different, and especially, like, the one that Jessica says is different.
Yes.
As you are reading, so I have the book version in my notes. As you're reading, my brain just did not connect the two, that they were different.
I did not catch the there.
Yeah, it is a very small difference. So kudos to them for keeping it very book accurate.
Yeah.
I wonder if that was...
I think it flows better, honestly.
Maybe.
I will face my fear and I will allow it to pass through.
Yeah. But anyways, it is very close. Still liked it. Still loved it. This Litany Against Fear, it is like a mantra of sorts that the Bene Gesserits say whenever they're in stressful situations.
Is it only the Bene Gesserit? Because when I was doing a little bit of research... It was just like everything that I saw was that it was just like a common thing.
It is part of their training. It is part of the Bene Gesserit training. Now, whether it is, you know, taken roots in other, you know, organizations and uses and context, maybe.
As Bene Gesserit tend to insert themselves into everything.
Yeah, right. So in the books, Paul is the one who recites the litany instead of Jessica.
And in the Lynch movie.
That's true. Yeah. So Lynch movie is more book accurate in that sense. And it's just a thought that goes through his head as he's, you know, as the pain is kind of ramping up. The encyclopedia has this to say about the litany. It's in a section of Bene Gesserit trainings. And it's talking about all the different things that a, you know, Bene Gesserit initiate and student has to go through whenever they're going through their, you know, their training. And it says, finally, as the last steps before entering the concentration mode, and concentration mode is really just this like state of mind flow state that, that people can get into to do a bunch of different things. Finally, as the last steps before entering the concentration mode, one withdraws sensory and emotional awareness from all internal areas of distraction. In most cases, the sister performs a simple calmness ritual, but in great danger, she would recite the litany against fear to subdue any instinctual primal terrors. So it is a way of just like blocking out distractions, recentering your mind, getting you to a place where you can focus on what is at hand instead of letting fear overcome you.
I feel like it's just like reaching inside your head, grabbing your fucking subconscious by the collar and just giving it a couple slaps.
Yeah.
And it's just like, shut up. We got more important shit to do.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. And we see this, you know, mm-hmm. as she is reciting the litany, and for what it's worth, the minute ends halfway through the litany.
That is true. That is true.
I read the whole thing just because it would be weird to.
I want to talk about it now.
Sure. Because we got some shit to talk about next episode too. Mm-hmm. We see this too because like Jessica, in an instant, just regains her composure, gets her shit together.
Yeah.
And in turn, we see Paul start to do this, not at the same exact moment, a couple seconds later. And this is what makes me think that they have a deeper connection and why Jessica was feeling some of Paul's pain, because as she is reciting the litany against fear, Paul also seems to be, if not wholly, receiving the benefits of it, partially enough to the point where he, regains enough of his composure and like goes from looking down in pain to almost like starting to glare up in anger against Moheim. And Moheim even recognizes this because she has a look on her face of,
Oh fuck.
Yeah.
Oh shit. What's he doing?
Yeah. And it's kind of hard to see because she's got her veil and everything over it. But if you're watching this movie minute by minute, you notice those little details and stuff. And yes, you can see it on a first watch and everything. How many people actually do, I don't know.
Yeah.
But you can definitely see she has realized that shit is about to go down because Paul is conquering the fear. And as he is conquering, we hear just the biggest blah, Inception style, loud, just blare of noise.
Really a turning point in Paul's just overall like attitude towards this test. It was like a definitely had fear before, and now he's like confident almost. He's like,
yes,
it's like a fuck you stare.
Yeah, no, this is a fundamental like moment that changes Paul permanently. It turning him towards what he is destined to become.
Yep.
And then our minute ends. It ends right there. It ends with the blah. So
lot of great stuff in this collection of seconds that we just watched. A lot of very like foundational things. We get a lot of the litany, which is great, iconic words. We get Jessica freaking out. We can, you know, spend a little bit more time in that that relationship, which I'm still not totally sold that it's like a symbiotic thing. I think Paul has had this, you know, a level of Bene Gesserit training with his mom. We've already covered that with him using the voice.
Trying to, but yes.
Yeah, but you know, making at least better attempts than you and I would.
Sure. Hey, can you hand me that?
I think that Jessica gets the auditory credit for the litany of fear, litany against fear. Mm-hmm. I would be very surprised if Paul was also not reciting it in his head at the same time.
Sure.
And going through the same kind of calming techniques that she is going through on the other side of that door.
Except he's not calm. He is pissed.
Well, I mean, calming techniques.
No, I know what you mean. Yeah. I just,
So yeah, I don't know if it's like her making him feel calm and confident and kind of have a demeanor change, or if it's just the training that she has instilled with him throughout his life that she's also going through and she's doing her on her own outside.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think it's open for a little bit of interpretation. So both are valid.
That they yeah. are.
Well, anything else for this minute?
I've got nothing else for this minute. If you have things you'd like to talk about for this minute, you can reach out to us on still we'll only call it Twitter at Dune Minute. You can also email us duneminute@gmail.com, and you can reach out to us on Instagram at Dune Minute Podcast.
At the Dune Minute.
Sorry. At the
Dune I just Minute. Need to change that to drop the.
Yeah, I probably should. But at this point we've like
yeah, well, it's either gonna be the Dune Minute or Dune Minute. We'll see.
Yeah. We'll seems like we'll have links to everything. Seems as like well. A lot
of work. I'm just gonna yeah, links in the show description. There will be links in the show description for you to take us take you right to wherever we are, regardless of the name.
Yes. We're still planning things out.
Yep. All right, cool. Well, we will see y'all back tomorrow to discuss minutes 27 through 28 as Paul continues his trial of pain with his hand in a box.
Hand in a box.
All right. See y'all later.
See ya.